Exploring the Word of God together allows us to share in the joy that comes from discovering the words of hope and salvation which overflow from our Bibles. Upper Room Media presents to you this educational, enlightening, and entertaining Bible study. Prepare to be transformed.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are studying the Gospel of St. John, and we are in the chapter number 10. We were speaking about the Good Shepherd and the one flock and the one shepherd, and the flock will not be necessarily Jewish in background, because all nations are invited to come to the truth, to be members in the body of Christ. Therefore, my Father loves me, verse 17, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. As we spoke last time, he is telling God that it was the plan of the Father done by the God the Son. And the same will of God the Father is the will of God the Son, is to redeem all humans by sacrificing his body, and also by resurrection, taking the life again, in order to restore the eternal life to everyone. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. It happened many times after his sermon that the Jew people, you know, come in groups. Some of them were like enjoying what he was saying and believing in him, seeing the glory of God in him, and respecting so much his sermons and his miracles. Others, you know, are imprisoned in their Jewish background, focusing much on the rituals, the literal understanding of the law, and rejecting the truth. And many of them said, he had a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? So people started to attack him, as it happened many times in the Gospel of St. John. So they accused him as a mad person or having a demon, and these were like big insults to any Jewish guy. Others said, these are not the words of one who had a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So they still recalling, you know, the miracle happened a few hours before that he could open the eyes, or creating new eyes for the born blind man. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. So we moved to another feast, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. That's very important, because actually if you studied the 10 chapters now, he revealed his character many times. He proved to be Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, by miracles, by sermons. He recalled the witness of God the Father, Moses the prophet, other prophets, the miracles, John the Baptist. They all witnessed to his character as the Son of God. But still they are doubting the truth because they do not want to see it clearly. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, just tell us plainly, as if he never do it. Jesus answered them, I told you. This means that he told the people many times that he is Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. I told you, and you do not believe. So it's not the problem of God did not reveal himself enough, or the proofs given by Christ were not enough. It's the heart of people. It's the acceptance of the people to the sermons, to the revelation, to the miracle seen. So it's all about the will of man. It's not the will of God. God revealed himself in many ways, and it was very much clear. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So if you do not want to listen to my word, to my witness, to myself, just focus on the miracle, the works done by Christ in his Father's name prove that he is the Son of God. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. So that's the problem. He was telling them that my sheep will listen to my voice. They will follow me. They will discern my voice from the voice of the thieves, the robbers, and others who are not, you know, the good shepherd. So if you are in from my sheep, you will follow me. You will believe in me. You will listen carefully to my saying, but you are not. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. So it's all about eternal life. God came to restore our eternity because we lost it in Adam and Eve. We lost it because of our corrupted nature now. And the source of corruption was devil and ourselves, the will of devil and the will of man. But the will of God was never for the corruption or death of man. The will of God was for eternity. So he's saying, I give them eternal life. My sheep will be given eternity because they believe, because they follow. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's a very nice promise that, you know, no one can snatch us out of his hand. Because he is the good shepherd, he is responsible, he loves his sheep, he came to redeem them, he is fully responsible, and he is offering himself as a sacrifice and offering eternity. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Look to this. He made it for himself and made it again for the Father. The same power, the same action. No one can snatch out of my hand. And then he said it differently. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So the same hand, the same power, the same divine nature. Because he's telling everyone, I'm one with my Father. The Father who sent me, you cannot see, but now you can see me. I'm responsible because I'm God. And no one can snatch them out, snatch my flock out of my hand, because I'm powerful enough to guide and guard my sheep. I and my Father are one. So now it's very clear. I and my Father are one. Because some people may say that the verses in the Bible related to the divine nature of Christ are not enough to show that the same divine nature of the Father is like equal to the Son. They never read the Gospel of St. John, because the Gospel of St. John are full of these verses, these revelations. Here Christ is saying, I and my Father are one, one in divinity, one in the character of divine nature, but not in person. Because God the Father did not incarnate, did not came to our land, but he is always there. God the Son, being the Logos of the Father, were always there, but he became man. He came to save us. So he took our flesh to offer his body as a sacrifice for the salvation of humans. And he ascended to heaven after his resurrection to take all the believers, the members of his body, back to heaven. Then the Jews took up stones again. So it happened many times in the Gospel of St. John that they were about to stone him because he made it very very clear that he is God And he is Jehovah. He is the I am person. And people should worship him because he is God incarnated. So because they refused the revelation, they were about to stone him again. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" Because, you know, he had done many good miracles. He saved many people, healing them. So he is asking, "Why are you stoning me now? Because I had done good for you, because I came to save you. I proved myself by many ways. So you are not stoning me just because you do not want to believe." It's not the problem of Christ, it's the problem of the Jews. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." So they accused him of blasphemy. Blasphemy means that you insulted God, or you said that I'm God, and you are a big liar, you are not God. So they make it this way, being a man, you make yourself God. He did not make himself God. He is the real God. He came to show us God, the seen God, the full image of God. He took our body in order to see him, to touch him, to hear him, because we couldn't see God before. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came." Look to this, because, you know, Christ knew very well all the verses of the Old Testament, and it was there in the Psalms and in other areas in the prophecies that God named the people as gods just because they are receiving the word of God. So we are considered on a level of being God just because we speak to God. So we are coming closer to God. So God is considering his offspring, his human people like gods. And Christ said, if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So you cannot change this verse. "Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent him into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? If the scriptures considered you, the bad people, the Jew people, like gods because you are just listening to his word." So the true word of God, the true logos of God, when he came to man speaking from himself, the word of God, because he is the real God. Now you are accusing him of being a blasphemer. So he is speaking very logic, very reasonable, because now when they accused him of saying I'm God, he said you are also gods, but on different level. So Christ is not, you know, saying that I'm just like you. No, he never said it this way. But you are called to be gods, to be children of God. So the real Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, you do not want to consider him the Son of God. That's the logic in this. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified? What's the meaning of sanctification? That's simply because the Logos took the flesh and he sanctified the body, his personal body, when he took it to be his personal physical body of man. So this is the sanctification. God is not sanctifying his God nature, definitely no. But, you know, he sanctified the human nature he took to share people having the exact flesh of man. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me." So again, he is pointing at the works, the miracles. Christ proved to be the Son of God to show his divine nature by the works. And one of these last works were the miracle of creating new eyes to the born blind man. So he the creator, and he the Pantocrator, he the Almighty. He could do everything. He could heal all sicknesses. He could cast away all demons. So he is God. If I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe. So if you don't want to accept my witness, just look around and see the miracles, the works themselves, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Again, he said that I'm one with my Father. He's saying the same meaning. The Father is in me and I in him. So God is in the Son and Son is in the Father. I know you cannot, calculate it like an equation or imagine the truth by your imagination, because this is the secret of God. But we have to accept the truth given by God. We need to believe that's the real God, because he proved to be God and he is telling us his secret. Even if you cannot understand it fully, that's very acceptable, because you cannot understand yourself 100%. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. They were about to stone him, which happened many times in many chapters in the Gospel of St. John before this chapter. Now they were about to seize him, because they considered him a blasphemer. But he escaped out of their hand. That's simply because it was not the time of crucifixion. Christ's plan was not yet completed. So he made it his way, that there should come an hour, the exact hour he planned for, in order to complete his mission. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. You know, when he spoke his word in Jerusalem, it's very hot there. It's very tough attitude of the Jews. But when he goes back to Galilee part and to the Jordan area, the farmers and the poor people are more ready to accept his revelation. They loved him so much. They enjoyed the miracles much more than it happened in Jerusalem. So the simple people are more ready to accept the truth than the philosophers and those who considered themselves as wise men. He went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. Remember the start of the gospel? John the Baptist started to pave the way to Christ to come. And he was pointing at him, at the lamb coming to be the sacrifice for humans. So he went to this area where people used to go to be baptized on the hands of John the Baptist. At that time, John the Baptist was killed by Herod. And there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign. John the Baptist performed no sign. But people loved him because he spoke the truth. And the major part of the truth given by John the Baptist, that this is the Messiah. Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord, is God incarnate. So although John did not perform miracles, but people looked up to him because his pure life, witnessed to his good teaching. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. So people of this area could not ignore the witness of John the Baptist, who had make it very clear that this is the Messiah, the Son of God. And they loved him, so they always recalled his witness to Christ. And many believed in him there. So on the time that in Jerusalem, very few accepted the truth and believed in him as the Son of God in the areas of Jordan, Galilee, and the poor areas, many, many accepted him, the Son of God. Glory to God. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.